Okay, today's daf is Pei Gimel. We're going to finish the 8th parak. We're starting about 10 lines or 11 lines from the bottom of Pei Bet and Bet by Rava. Rava asks a question. Parhelim devar shel tzibur v'se'ir avodat kochavim shechnis daman lefanai velifni mahu. Until now we've been discussing v'chol chatat asher huva midama, right? Here, what is it? Right, any chatat that you bring from the dam into Ol Moed, that means the dam goes into the Echal, it's disqualified. But what if, you make an analogy, the outside chatat to the Echal, which is not allowed, right, is that analogous to the chataot pnimiot that are supposed to be done in the Echal to the Kodesh Kodeshim? In other words, if you took the dam of the, for example, they bring the Parhelim Devar Shel Tzibur and the Se'ir Avodat Kochavim, if you brought their blood into the Kodesh Kodeshim, which is not allowed, would it be disqualified? Mi Amrinan Ela Kodesh Pnima? Do we say, the Pasuk says that you can't bring it Ela Kodesh Pnima? Kol Hecha Dekrinan Ela Kodesh, Krinan Le Pnima. Remember, there we already ended yesterday with saying it means any chatat that you bring into the Hechal or into the Kodesh Kodeshim is going to be disqualified, but that was an outside chatat. Do we say that any time that we say Ela Kodesh, then we say Pnima, but Kol Hecha DeLo Krinan Ela Kodesh, Lo Krinan Pnima. But if it's allowed in the Kodesh, and it won't be disqualified in the Kodesh because it's a chatat Pnimi, then maybe we wouldn't say Pnima's forbidden and we'll disqualify it. O Dilma Shalobim Komandhu. Or do we just simply say anything that's not in the place it's supposed to be? In other words, if you go to a holier place, it's going to disqualify it. Okay, so we basically say this is only a chatat that can't go into the Echal and can't go into Kodesh Kodeshim, which will eliminate the chataot that are specifically meant to go in the Echal, in the sanctuary. Or do we say, no, it's the same. This is to that, as that is to that, right? The chatat chitzoni to the Echal is similar to the chatat pnimi to the Kodesh Kodeshim. Ve'im tim tzilomer, it's going to be one of these that's built on. So if you want to say shelobim komanu, then really it is disqualified. The parhelim devar shel tzibur and the se'ir avodat kochavim, which is supposed to be done inside, if you bring them into Kodesh Kodeshim, they'll be disqualified. But what about the par v'se'ir shel yom kippurim? Notice we didn't mention those. Why didn't we mention those? Because the par and se'ir of yom kippurim is different. Why? That does go into Kodesh Kodeshim. Remember the Kohen Gadol, that's the one day of the year. He goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim. He brings the blood from the par and seir. So, what would be the issue then? Well, let's see. Would you say that a par v'seir shel Yom Kippurim, shehizam yidaman ala badim, where he went into the Kodesh Kodeshim and he put the blood on the between the badim of the Aron, between the poles of the Aron, v'hotzi'an lehechal, and then he finishes that part of his avoda, and he goes out into the Hechal. Now can you see where this is going? Once he's already left the Hechal, now at this point he's not allowed to go back into Kodesh Kodeshim. So what if at that stage, v'ichnisan, at that stage you brought them back into the Kodesh Kodeshim, mahu? Would you say at that point it's disqualified? So if you say the regular chata'ot ha'pnimiyot that are not allowed in the Kodesh Kodeshim, like the par, helen, devar shel tzibur, and this year avodah kochavim, would you say that if those are disqualified when they go into Kodesh Kodeshim, likewise, the parents here of Yom Kippur, after the Kohen's already gone into the Kohen Gadol has gone into the Kodesh Kodeshim and he comes out, and then he brings it, anyone brings it back in, would it disqualify it? Mi Amrina Mikomanhu, do you say, listen, the parents here of Avodat Yom Kippurim, that's their place. They're allowed in the Kodesh Kodeshim, and therefore bringing them at the wrong time won't disqualify them. O Dilma, Ho'il V'Nafik Nafek, or do we say, since he already left and he's no longer allowed to go back in, it's going to be disqualified. V'im Tim Tzalomer, another question. Ho'il V'Nafak Nafak, and if you say, look, he already left the Kodesh Kodeshim, and therefore he leaves the Kodesh Kodeshim and then brings it back in, it'll be disqualified. But what if he's zami daman ala parochet? Now we're going through the order. He goes inside the Kodesh Kodeshim and sprinkles the blood on the aron. Then ben abadim. Then he comes out. He sprinkles the blood on the parochet. And then Hotzi Olam is Beach, which is then he's supposed to bring it. These are all the Hazaot. Remember, we talked about all the Hazaot the Kohen Gadol does. Then he sprinkles on the Parochet. Then he goes to the Mizbeach. So we're walking, right, from the inner part of the Kodesh Kodeshim, right? Here's the Kodesh Kodeshim. He goes to the Parochet, which is between the sanctuary, the Hechal, and the Kodesh Kodeshim. And then he walks to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Okay, he's still in the Hechal. This is all the Hechal. So now, once he walks to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, now here's the question. Bichnisan, and then he walks back to the Parochet. He doesn't go into the Kodesh Kodeshim, because that already we said, maybe potentially that's disqualified. Let's assume he's disqualified if he goes back into the Kodesh Kodeshim. But the question is he even allowed, this is so interesting, right? Is he allowed to walk back in the direction toward the Kodesh Kodeshim? Or do we say, okay, so let's read it. Hacha v'daicha b'komhu. Do you say, look, he's still in the Hechal. What's the difference if he goes back to the area near the Parochet? And it's like the game of hot and cold. You know, as you get closer to the Kodesh Kodeshim, it's getting hot. Is he allowed to go there? Do we say the whole thing is chab makom? This is all called the Hechal. So, of course, it's allowed anywhere there. O dilma yitzia krina bay. Or do we call this also yitzia? In other words, he's going in the wrong direction. I was thinking this is similar. We talked about when you take up l'smicha shchita and you have to take the direct route and you can't start going around. In other words, maybe it's also similar to that in that your steps are counted and your direction, you have to stay far away from the Kodesh Kodeshim. You can only go to that area if you're supposed to go to that area.
No, it could be, but I was actually happy to hear it because it's a personal. But the whole time that we're reading this, I'm thinking, how can they put Kodesh HaKodeshim into any equation? There's like the Cherdat Kodesh. It's so removed, and you have to be so cautious and careful. How can you start making calculations of what if he erred and did this or that or took a step in the. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time that I feel like they're indicating that maybe there is a Cherdat Kodesh Kodeshim, and that if you step away from it, you're not allowed to go back. Mm-hmm. I see it like okay. That they're finally.
Right, addressing the fact that there is this Kodesh.
But there are some mistakes you can make, and all of this is about theoretical kinds of things, but how, you can't make a mistake by walking just like the Kodesh Kodesh, or even the questions I know near it. But that's not a mistake. There's nothing you do by accident.
Right.
And the question is how close you get to...
Right, and can you? And interestingly, the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara says, Teku. We don't know the answer to this question.
There's an analysis.
Right, exactly. Okay. Nichnas lechaper. Okay, now we're back to the part of the Mishnah where it says, sorry, I lost my place here. Oh, that's why I'm on the wrong. Okay. Tov. Nichnas lechaper. So Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Ne'amar kan lechaper b'kodesh. V'ne'amar lahalam v'chol adam lo yiyeh ba'ol mo'eh b'vo'ol lechaper b'kodesh. Ma lahalam b'shalo kiper, af kam b'shalo kiper. We saw this machloket in the Mishnah about if you go into the Hechal, but you didn't sprinkle the blood, does that, if you brought the chatat blood into the Hechal, which disqualifies it, is it only disqualified if you did, if you actually put the blood on the four corner, or on the Mizbeach, or not? So Rabbi Lezer says, since it says, lechaper b'kodesh in our pasuk, right, that was the pasuk we saw, which is b'chol chatat asher yuvah midama al ol moed lechaper b'kodesh. You bring it in lechaper b'kodesh. So now we want to know: does lechaper b'kodesh mean that you actually put the blood on the four corners, or does it just mean you went in with the intent to do it? Whether or not you did it doesn't really matter. Okay. So now we're going to see other. What's the best way to do this? Let's look at other places in the Torah where it says lechaper b'kodesh, and let's see what the intent is. So where else does it say it? Back to Yom Kippur. It says, V'chol adam lo yihyeh ba'ol moed bivo'o lechaper b'kodesh ad seito. From the moment the Kohen Gadol goes in, this, I don't know if you knew this halacha, that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, this goes back to what you were saying, Naomi, about the sanctity. No person is even allowed in the Hechal. It's such a holy moment that no one can even be in the sanctuary, forget about it. Obviously, Kodesh Kodeshim, no one can be, that's obvious, but no one can even be in the sanctuary. When can't they be in the sanctuary? When the Kohen goes in, Lechaper B'Kodesh, not after he was Lechaper B'Kodesh, after he did the blood, it's from the moment he goes in, Ad Seito, which means even if he hasn't done anything, so there you see, Lechaper B'Kodesh means even if you haven't done anything.
So the rope that's tied around his waist goes all the way out of the door so that they can pull it?
Yeah, sure. long. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ne'amar Kan L'chaper, V'ne'amar L'halam L'chaper. No, I'm not going to learn it from there. You remember, Rabbi Lezer said, it's not, right, it's not dependent on whether you did it. And Rabbi Shimon said, it is dependent on it. So where does he get it from? Where does it say it? Ve'et parachatat, ve'et se'ir achatat, asher huva et amam l'chaper. Okay, here we're talking about the se'ir and the par that get burned, right? This is on Yom Kippurim. What happens to them? They're called the parim anisrafim, right? And the se'ir anisraf. Asher huva et amam l'chaper b'kodesh, yotzi al-mechutz l'machaneh v'sarfu v'eshet oratam v'saram v'et pirsham. We learned this yesterday, that they get burned all the way outside the three machanot. When do they get burned? It says here. Asher, it says, Asher huvat amam l'chaper b'kodesh, yotzi al-mechutz l'machaneh. If their blood was brought l'chaper b'kodesh, that means, when do they get burnt? Only after the blood is presented. So here l'chaper b'kodesh means after they presented the blood. So there's Rabbi Shimon's proof. So now they say, so ma l'halam b'shekiper, just like there, it's, he already did the sprinkling. Avkan b'shekiper, because you're certainly not going to burn it before the sprinkling was done. So also in our case. So b'may kamifligay, what's the root of their machlokin? That's why would you say I'll learn from one and not from the other? Mar savar danin chutz michutz, ve'ein danim chutz mipnim. I'd rather learn a case of a person can't go into the heichal. Just in other words, what's our case? The chatat can't go into the heichal. Likewise, the person can't go into the heichal when the kohen gadol is in kodesh kodeshim. So those two are very parallel. The other person says, and you shouldn't learn chutz mipnim. The parachatat is a chatat pnimi. So why learn a chatat chitzoni from a case of a chatat pnimi? So now the other opinion says, umar savar danin behema mi behema vein danin behema me adam. Both the par and seir and our case are blood-related issues, right? That the blood was brought l'chaper b'kodesh, as opposed to, we're talking in the other case about a person not going in. So there we're talking about the blood, and there we're talking about a person. So it makes more sense to learn from the blood of an animal than from a person. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So now we had this strange thing at the end of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says that, or maybe it wasn't the very end of the Mishnah, close to the end, Im hechnish shogeg kasher. If you brought it into the heichal, and it was bishogeg, you went in accidentally, you didn't realize you had the dam chatat with you, okay? Then it's kasher. It doesn't disqualify it. So now the question is, where does he hold on this machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Eliezer? What if, right, he doesn't really address that issue. So now they're going to say, ha mezid pasul. It seems to imply that what? He agrees that if you did it mezid, it would be disqualified. So the Gemara is going to ask now, b'shekiper or b'shalokiper? Was it only if you sprinkled the blood inside or not, or if you didn't? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. We're going to learn it from here. Okay, first we have to get through this whole brayta, then we'll see the connection. When it says, okay, so let's just read the psukim again. We're reading kav zayin and kav ched. It should be in the Torah or by you if you have it. Ve'et par chatav et zir chatat asher uvat amam l'chaper b'kodesh. So the par and the seer of Yom Kippurim. Once they sprinkle the blood, what do? Yotzil mi'chutz l'machaneh v'sarfu ba'esh. So take it outside, burn it. I'm not going to read the rest of the sentence. It's not so critical. The next sentence is, v'asorev otam yichabes b'gadav, and the one who burns it should wash his clothes. V'achat b'saro b'mayim v'acharechen yavo l'machaneh. Okay, you become tameh. And therefore, the one who burns it becomes tameh. He has to wash his clothes, rinse his body, and then, you know, mikvah, and then he can come back to the machaneh. So now, let's go read the braita from the beginning. So once it says, mimashma shenemar v'et parachatav et zir chatat asher uvat amam l'chaper b'kodesh, and then it says, and you should burn it. Ma tamud lomar v'hasoref. Why does the next verse start off with, hasoref otam yichabes b'gadav? So now it's going to be a little strange. What do you mean, matam ulomar basaref? Legufe itzdrich. What do you mean? You need it to tell you. You might have said, visaref ba'esh is redundant, because we already said it in the pasuk before. But of course you need, because the next pasuk is talking about, the one who burns it has to wash his clothes. So why are you asking a question that hasaref is unnecessary? It's very necessary. So then they say, okay, that wasn't the question. Ela matam ulomar chatat chatat. Why does it say ve'et par hachatat ve'et seir hachatat? It just could have said ve'et par v'seir hachatat or something like that. So why does it say chatat twice? Lafisha lo lamanu ela la par v'seir shel yom kippurim shenisrafim ha'beit hadeshen mitam'im begadim. The whole thing that they're metame begadim, that it is metame you, that your clothes become tame also. How do we know this? The pasuk is only referring to the one who burns the par and the seer of Yom Kippurim. But Shar and Nisrafim Minayin, how do we know, let's say, the par and Debar Shel Tzibur, which also gets burned in the same way? How do we know that it's also Metameh Begadim? Talmud Lamar Chatat Chatat. So the extra word Chatat comes to include the case of that in all the other Parim and Hanisrafim, right? All the other chata'o pnimiyot that get burned outside the machaneh, whoever burns them is going to be tamei begadim. Okay? That we learn from chatat chatat. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? We still don't know the connection. Rabbi Meir Omer, eno tzarich. You don't need to learn it from there, because harehu Omer. Ve'et par chatat ve'et zira chatat. She'ein tamud lomar lechaper. You don't need it to say, once you said the parachatat, the sirachatat, you don't need asher huva damam lechaper bakodesh. We already know that huva damam lechaper bakodesh. Why do you need to define for us? It's the paravis seir that we sprinkle the blood. We know it's that they sprinkle the blood. It's obvious. So matamud lomar lechaper, limera kolamit chaprim shasafram metame begadim. What does he say? From the word lechaper, what do we learn? That's the word that teaches us that all the nisrafim also hasarefo tan yichabes begadav. So how does this relate to our case? Because the whole question was, do we darshim him from this word lichaper bakodesh that we're going to learn from the par and seir to our case, which means that the par and seir lichaper bakodesh is only after the blood is sprinkled, and therefore we'll learn it to here. So Rabbi Meir certainly can't derive that, because he says lichaper is coming for something else, for the hasrafam etamei begadim. So Rabbi Yehuda lechaper lo mashmalei. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda learn it from the words lechaper? My time alav mishum debay alal gzera shava. Isn't it because he needs to make the gzera shava lechaper bakodesh to us? And they're making this interesting logical argument, which is the fact that he doesn't learn it from there and he learns it from chatat chatat must be because he needs lechaper bakodesh for the drasha of Rabbi Shimon, which means he agrees with Rabbi Shimon that, in fact, it's only if you sprinkle the blood and not if you went in without sprinkling the blood. Hadron alach kol hazvachim shenitarvu. And moving on from Ta'aravot, now we're getting to things. We've actually, we've mentioned this before. We've had it in different contexts. We've come across this, which is which items that you put on the mizbeach attain their, and as you leave them on the mizbeach. Okay, let's start from the beginning. If you have something that's disqualified and not allowed in the mizbeach, and yet you put it on the mizbeach for whatever reason, do you have to leave it there? Or do you have to take it off? In other words, is it not allowed to be on the mizbeach? Do we say tered or lo tered? So, hamizbeach mikadesh et ha-ra'oilo. Topic set that's of our Mishnah. The mizbeach sanctifies anything that's ra'oi to go on the mizbeach. Okay, we're going to have to define this exactly. What is this? But this comes from a pasuk in Shmot Kaftet, Lamed Zayin, okay, where it says, let me open it in here, Shmot Kaftet, Lamed Zayin. It says there, Shivat yamim techaper al hamizbeach v'kidash ta'oto, v'haya hamizbeach kodesh kodashim, kol hanogea b'mizbeach yikdash. Anything that touches the mizbeach, and here it sounds like even touching the walls, some, you know, coming in contact with the mizbeach, yikdash, becomes sanctified. Okay? So now they're going to say, even if it's pasul lahakrava. Rabbi Yoshua Omer. So now we're going to see what types of things come into this category. There's going to be a machloket. Rabbi Yoshua says, kol hara'oi li'ishim imala lo yered. Anything that's supposed to be burned. It's only things that are supposed to be burned, as opposed to things that aren't supposed to be burned. Where are we going to learn this from? Shneamar hi haola al mokda ma ola shi ruya li shim imalta lo tered af kol shi ruya li shim imala lo yered. So now they're saying they learn it from this pasuk of zotarata ola hi haola al mokda. Mokda is on the pyre, on the place where you burn it. So they're going to say, what makes the olah unique? That, it's ra'oy for fire, right? It gets burned. And once you put it on, you certainly don't take it off. Therefore, anything that's ra'oy to get burned, they say the hi ha'olah al-mukdah comes to include even other things. Rabban Gamliel omer, kol ra'oy l'mizbeach im ala lo yered. Okay, not just ra'oy li'ishim, anything that's ra'oy to go on the mizbeach. Shneamar, hi ha'olah al-mukdah ala mizbeach. You forgot the rest of the pasuk, he says. Hi ha'olah al-mukdah al ha'mizbeach. Now you might say, what's the difference between them? Well, the Mishnah tells you. Ein bein divrei Rabban Gamliel ledivrei Rabbi Yoshua, ela hadam v'hanisachim. The blood and the libations, because both those things don't get burned. They get poured on the Mizbeach and not burned. So those things, if they were disqualified and you put them on the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yoshua, you would take them off, and according to Rabban Gamliel, they would stay on. Rabban Gamliel omer lo yirdu, Rabbi Yeshua omer yirdu. Rabbi Shimon omer, he has a third opinion, hazevach kasher, anything that's a sacrifice is kasher, v'hanisachim psuli. I'm sorry, let's say it the opposite. I didn't read this right. Hazevach kasher v'nisachim psulim. If the zevach, if the sacrifice itself, now we're going to talk about the connection between. Yesterday we talked about what if you had the blood in two different cups from one animal and what part of it got pasul, what about the rest? So now we're going to talk about what if certain korbanot had nisachim that went along with it, right? You pour the wine or the water right down on the mizbeach and those two holes we saw at the top of the mizbeach. So what if you had a zevach that's kasher, but the nisachim that were associated with them became disqualified? Or you had nisachim that were kasherim, but the zevach was pasul. Afilu zevzeb psulim, even if both of them are psulim, no matter what, hazevach lo yered, v'hanisachim yerdu. No matter what, the zevach stays on, but the side part, these nisachim, always go off the mizbech. Now we're going to learn after that since, what's the issue here? Since the nisachim are only coming because you did this sacrifice, therefore, if they're disqualified, or if the animal gets disqualified, right? The korban itself, the nisachim don't get brought. But if there were nisachim that came on their own, this is where he differs, because he sounds like the first opinion, which said only things that get burned, because the nisachim don't get burned. But the difference between him is that he says only if the nisachim are coming on account of the korban. But if you're just bringing nisachim on their own, then they would actually lo yered. Okay? So, Gemara starts off. Okay, the first sentence was in the Mishnah, Hamizbeach Mekadesh et Ra'oilo. So, what do you derive from here? Ra'oilo in she'ein ra'oilo lo. So, it sounds like it doesn't sanctify things that are not ruin in the Mizbeach. So, what's lemiute mai? What's not included in this? Amara Papa lemiute kmatzin shelo kitshu b'kli. If you have a kmitza that didn't go into a kli sharet yet, and you put it on the Mizbeach, you'd have to take it off. Okay, because if it's not, what's ra'oy to go on the mizbeach? Something that's sanctified. Even sanctified but disqualified is still sanctified. Whereas the kmitza that was never put into a kli sharet has no sanctity to it. Remember, we've learned this before. That the putting it into the kli sharet is what causes it to become sanctified. Whereas, you know, when you designate an animal, that's already sanctified. But here, just the kmitza is not sanctified until you put it in a kli sharet. Matkif la Ravina. Ravina questions, Maishnami de Ula. How is this different from what Ula says? Amar Ula. Imurei kodshim kalim, shehelan lifnezri kataman, lo yerdu. Nasu lachmosha mizbech. So Ula says, the imurim of the kodshim kalim, if you put them on the mizbech before the zrikat dam, then you don't take them off. They become lachmosha mizbech. So now, why is this different? In other words, here, what do we see? The imurei kodshim kalim, right, the parts, what happened, what's the order, what do? You sprinkle the blood. Once you sprinkle the blood, then you put the imurim on the mizbeach. But the imurim here went on the mizbeach before you sprinkle the blood. That's kind of like the kmitza before you put it in a kli sharet. So why did Ula say, in the kodshim kalim case, the imurim that you put before zrikat dam, they don't go off the mizbeach, because they're considered lachmosha mizbeach, they're like the food of the mizbeach. And yet, with the kmitza, shalokit shobakli, they have to be taken off the mizbech. So what's the answer? Hanach lo mechasru ma'aseh begufayu. Haneh mechasru ma'aseh begufayu. When it comes to the imurim, there's nothing that's lacking. There's no act that has to be done to the imurim themselves. The imurim are ready to go on the mizbeach. It's just that some other act has to happen in order to enable them to go on the mizbeach. But since nothing's missing relating to the imurim themselves directly, therefore, if you put them on the mizbeach too early, they stay on. Whereas the kmitza, you're missing an important act that the kmitza hasn't gone into the klei sharet yet. So since it's missing an act that relates to itself, then if it went on the mizbeach, you'd have to take it off. Okay? So it's sort of like a gum in the goof or not. Okay, now we're going to go back to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel, their machloket. So remember, Rabbi Yeshua says, kol ha'ro'i li'ishin, and Rabban Gamliel said, much more generally, anything that's ro'i la'mizbeach. Rabban Gamliel nami haktiv olal mokda. So what does he do with the fact that the pasuk says olal mokda, which sounds like fire, and he says it's anything? Hahu lahadure pokin hudata. So he says the words olal mokda is to teach you about something else. It's to teach you that if you something fell off the mizbeach, then you put it back on. Right, this is that, 1 second. Poking. Right, if something fell on the floor, if something was burning on the mizbeach and it fell on the floor, and it's kosher, not pasul, right, then you're allowed to put it back on the mizbeach, and that's what Hiyaola Mokda is teaching you, that you can put it back on the Mokda. What's Mokda? Hamoked Shela. Right, you put it right back where it was before, if it fell off. Okay, so right, there's a diyun about whether returning it is considered like a new haktara or just a continuation of the last one. But there's obviously some, and I'm trying to figure out what's exactly the question here. Why would you think you couldn't put it back on the mizbeach? Anyway, we're going to learn this more on Peivav, so we'll deal with it when we get to it there. So he basically says, the olah mokda, I need to teach you the halacha of poking. So now, obviously, we're going to say, so where does Rabbi Yehoshua learn the halacha of poking from? V'idach ladure poking minale. Where does he get it from? Nafkalim leme me'asher tochal ha'esh. Okay, he learns it from those words. In the same pasuk, here, a different pasuk. V'lavash ha'kohen midobad. This is in Vayikra Vav, pasuk Gimel. U'mechnesei bad yobash ha'psaho. V'rim et hadeshen asher tochal ha'esh. You could have just said, hey, Rimit HaDeshen. This is the Trumat HaDeshen, where he picks up, right, they sweep the ashes, they pick up the ashes. So, what is this? It says, hey, Rimit HaDeshen asher tochal ha'esh et ha'olah la'mizbech v'samo et ha'lamizbech. So, what does he say here? Asher tochal ha'esh is unnecessary. So, what do we learn from there? That that's poking. That the esh is tochal, even if it fell off, you put it back on the fire. V'idach, so what does... Right, now we're going to say, what does Rabban Gamliel do with Asher Tochal Ha'esh? Ha'hu mibayle la'akule ola. You need that for the, right, the akule ola. 1 second. Right, sorry. Ha'hu mibayle la'akule ola tamachzir vi'ia tamachzir ikule ktoret. He's coming to teach you that this halacha that you put things back, this poking, only relates to things that were burned on the fire and not the ketoret, which was offered up as incense. Okay, that's different. So he says that asher tochala esh, that's why tochala esh, and the incense also gets burned, but how does it get burned, right? It doesn't get consumed when you burn it like the meat does, right? So therefore, only things that tochala esh get put back on, but not the ketoret. Detani Rabbi Chia bar Menuhme Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Asher tochal ha'esh et ha'olah la mizbeach, ikule ola tamachzir v'iya tamachzir ikule ketoret. So they're going to say that what, again, we don't know what Rabban Gamliel actually does with that pasuk. So what do? We bring a brayta where somebody darshans from those words a different halacha, right? And it's this halacha. And they say it must be Rabban Gamliel agrees with him. And that's why he doesn't use it for the other drasha. V'idach, Lav mimelish maminadi kule ola mahadrinan. So the other opinion, now Rabbi Yeshua would say that that Right, he would say it's true that it teaches you that you don't bring the ketoret back on the mizbeach, but wouldn't it be obvious that gam evarei ola that got consumed would go back on the mizbeach? Okay, he's saying there's no real need for the pasuk to teach you that because it's just obvious. That's what he says. Okay, Rabban Gamliel omer kol ha-ra'oi. Okay, kol ha-ra'oi li'ishim. So now they're going to say, so where did he get it from, right? Kol ha-ra'oi li'ishim, because it says hi ha'olah mokda. Okay, so now they're going to say, Rabbi Yeshua nami haktiv mizbeach. So what does he do with this pasuk, mizbeach? Because Rabban Gamliel said, remember, anything that's ra'oi, not for fire, because it says, okay, let's just review. Rabbi Yeshua said, hi ha'olah mokda. And Rabban Gamliel said, hi ha'olah mokda ala mizbeach, which came to ala mizbeach, came to include anything, not just on the fire. So what does Rabban Gamliel, what does Rabbi Yeshua do with the mizbeach pasuk, which he doesn't relate to those two words, ala mizbeach? Hahu mibayile, mai ka'ama rachmana, kol ha'ra'oi lemokda, mekadesh mizbeach. It comes to teach you that anything that's ra'oi li'ishim, the mizbeach is mikadesh. Hi olah mokda ala mizbeach comes to teach you when it goes on the mizbeach, that's what sanctifies it, but only things relating to fire. V'idach, mizbeach achrin aktiv. The other one says, oh, there's a different pasuk. There's a different, it says mizbeach, I think it's twice in that pasuk, one second. Where's the pasuk? Hi olah. So it says mizbeach twice in that pasuk, and that's where he gets it from. Okay, so the dafka is the mizbeach that sanctifies it, and therefore it has to stay on the mizbeach. So now, let's go back and get straight who's who, right? Rabbi Yeshua, who says mizbeach is needed for, right? He doesn't have the two mizbeachot. What does he do with the fact that two are mentioned in the pasuk? V'idachav lehecha dehaita lashat kosher, v'chav lehecha delo haita lashat kosher. Okay, the first time is to say that it includes things are sanctified by the mizbeach only if it had a shat kosher. In other words, it was ra'oi to go on the mizbeach. And the second time is to teach you, even if it didn't have a sha'ah, that it was kasher to go on the mizbeach. Like, what does that mean? It means that it was disqualified before you could have even done anything with it. Okay? It got disqualified in the early stage. V'idach. So what does the other person do? Where does he learn? Im lo aita lashat kosher. Kevan de psulaninu, v'rabinu rachmana. In other words, he just says, once we say disqualified, we don't need two separate psukim to teach you when it was disqualified. Was it disqualified before shat kosher, after shat kosher? You just need one pasuk to teach you, even if it's disqualified, it gets sanctified on the mizbeach. Now we're going to get to Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Remember, Rabbi Shimon said, if you have a zevach kasher or nesachim psulim, or you have nesachim kasherim and the zevach was pasul, or even zevazeh, it's going to be psulim. Even if zevazeh psulim, even if both the nisachim and the zevach were psulim, no matter what, the zevach always stays and the nisachim always come off, right? But we said that that's different from if the nisachim came b'fnatzmam, right? That they were just brought for their own sake. Tanya, here's a bright about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon omer ola, ma ola habal biglal atzma, af kol habaim biglal atzman. Again, we get it from this hi ha'olah mokda. So what did they learn it from? An ola. An ola comes for its own sake, right? An ola is brought on the mizbeach for its own sake, not because you brought a shlamim and therefore the ola comes with it, right? There's no such thing. I mean, sometimes you have to bring a shlamim and ola, but that's not, the ola doesn't come because of the shlamim. Okay? And therefore, anything that comes, biglal atzman. Yatzu nisachim habaim biglal zevach. And therefore, the only things that become sanctified in the mizbeach are things that come because of their own sake and not because of some other reason. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, now we're going to have another opinion. Mitoch shenemar kol hanogea b'mizbeach yikdash. Okay, that was this pasuk we saw in the beginning. Anything that touches the mizbeach becomes sanctified. Shomea ani bein ra'oi u'bein she'eno ra'oi. Right, so that seems to include anything that is not disqualified or anything that's disqualified. Right? Okay, that's so far what we've seen. Talmud Lomar. Ah, but then the next verse says, okay, we were reading Lamed Zayin. Okay, listen to Pasuk Lamed Chet, the one that comes right after, which happens to be, by the way, here you can look at my Tanakh, it's a new section, okay? But in the world of Drashot, right, we don't care if it's a new section, right? We connect any two Pasukim that are near each other, potentially. So what does he say? Right after it says, Kol Anogea B'Mizbeach Yikdash, which is our Pasuk, which teaches us all these halachot, which then we want to figure out which things that are ra'oi go on or not. That's the homachloket. Is it just ra'oi lishim? Is it anything that can go on the Mizbeach? Is it only things that go mipneatzmam, right? They're coming for their own sake and not as an added thing onto something else, like the nisachim to the korban that's supposed to go with. The next pasuk says here, "V'zeh asher ta'aseh al ha'mizbeach," and this is what you should put on the mizbeach. Kvasim b'nei shana shnayim liyom tamid. Then the next section is the korban tamid. Okay, so what's right after it says anything that goes on the mizbeach yikdash? It says, and this is what you should do on the mizbeach. You should bring kvasim. So what does he say? Okay, you can maybe see where this is going. So let's just start from the beginning of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He says, "Mitoch shenemar kol anogea b'zbeach yikdash shomani ben roi ben sheno roi." Right, just from that first pasuk, he would have assumed anything that's roi to go on the mizbeach. Talmud Lamar. Therefore, the next pasuk says, "Kfasim ma kfasim ruyin af kol roi." Okay, so now he says it's only going to be things that are like kfasim. Okay, so hold off for a minute. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ola. Ma ola ruya af kol ruya. And then Rabbi Akiva says, no, the pasuk says ola, only ola is ruya, and therefore anything that's ra'oi like an ola. So it's not so clear what he means. So the Gemara says, my benayu, what's the difference between them? Amrava debarava, ola ta'of psula ika benayu. Mar maitela ola, umar maitela mikvasim. So now he's going to say the difference, the halacha between them is that what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying is it's only animals. In other words, forget about things that can be burned. It's not even anything that can be burned, right? We're now seeing that our Mishnah had three opinions. We're now going to see two further opinions. One is it's only animals, so let's take it, it's within, right? If you take Rabbi Yoshua, who said that it's only things that can be burned, now we're going to say it's only animals that can be burned. And Rabbi Akiva, who learns it from Ola and not from Kfasim, is going to include even the Ola Ta'of. In other words, he's going to include birds. He's going to say animals and birds, but not anything else. Okay, so we now have five opinions, basically, about this, which is interesting. Uleman demaitela mikfasim hakshiv ola. In other words, if you're going to learn it from kfasim, doesn't it say ola? So why wouldn't you say we learn it from the ola word? Ve'iktiv kfasim ve'lo ktiv ola. Here he says like this. If it said kfasim and it didn't say ola, I'm sorry, right, and it hadn't said ola, Hava amina afilu mechayim. And therefore, katav rachmana, ola. Ola is a sacrifice that gets right. And ola is only after it's sacrificed. Whereas when it says just kfasim, you might have thought even if they're alive. What does that mean? It means that if your animal, you have an animal in the Beit HaMikdash, let's say it's an animal baal mum. Okay, this would be your classic example. It's an animal baal mum roaming around the Beit HaMikdash, and he wanders up the ramp to the Mizbeach. Okay, we even said the ramp itself is sanctified. So let's say he runs on the ramp. As soon as he runs on the ramp, do we say even though he's a baal mum, we should sacrifice it? So if it just said kfasim, we would have thought even an animal that's a baal mum that runs up the ramp, imala, then what does it mean lo tered in this case? Usually what do we assume it meant imala lo yered? If you put it on the fire, then you leave it on the fire. Here, the animal's alive. So you might say, well, it already went on the Mizbeach, so now I'll slaughter it on top of the Mizbeach and I'll burn it. So he's saying, if it just said kfasim, you would have thought that. So therefore, it had to say ola to teach you, no, anything that's only things that are like a korban ola that have already been sacrificed. Okay, and therefore, katav rachmana ola. Uleman demaitela me'ola. And if you're going to learn it from ola, haktiv kfasim. Doesn't it say kfasim? So how could you say it could be any animal? So what does he say? Iktiv ola, velo ktiv kfasim. Oh, sorry, you know what? I made a mistake. I did it the wrong order. The first was about, amanda maitelemi kfasim, sorry. I think I said it wrong. If you're Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who learns that it's only animals, and he learns it from kfasim, so what is ola? Because Rabbi Akiva said ola comes to include any kind of sacrifice. So he says, no. Ola doesn't include any kind of sacrifice. Ola tells you that it's only for animals that have already been sacrificed. If you learn it from Iktiv, if you learn it from Lamanda Matilemi Ola, if you're Rabbi Akiva, and you learn it from Ola, Haktiv Pasim, it says animals in the next Pasuk. So how can you say it's birds also? So Iktiv Ola, Veloktiv Pasim, right? Why did you need this Pasim Pasuk? You could have just had Ola, but what would have happened? Havamino Afilu Mincha. Ola, Ola on the Mizbeach could mean, right, even though Ola we generally think of a sacrifice, but Ola could have been a Mincha that we burn on the Mizbeach also. And therefore, Kata Rachmana Kvasim. Okay, right, that's the major nafkamina, the Mincha, between Rabbi Yeshua, who says anything that gets burned, versus these two opinions that say only birds and animals or only animals. Okay, so again, to go through our range of opinions, we have anything that's Ra'oi for the Mizbeach, we have anything that's burned on the Mizbeach, which would include the Mincha. We have birds and animals, and we have just animals. And then we have this fifth opinion, which is a little different, which talks about only things that that come, right? Only things that come on their own, right? Out of their own significance, and not because they're secondary to a sacrifice, like the Nisachim. Okay, so the Nisachim would break up into two according to them. And the Nisachim, right, okay, according to anything that's Ra'oi for the Mizbeach, would also include, I'm not sure I said this right, I was just reviewing, but the first opinion is anything that goes on the Mizbeach, which would include also Nichasim. Let's do it like this. There's Nichasim, Nisachim. I'm a little dyslexic. Nisachim, okay, then there's Nisachim that come Machmat Atzman only, right, okay? Then there's Nisachim and Mincha, right? Obviously, we're going to include, right, each opinion, I'm sorry, we're going to say it like this. Nisachim, right, and everything else. Nisachim Achmat Atzman and everything else. Mincha and Ofot and Behemot. And then we're going to have just Ofot and Behemot. And then we're going to have just Behemot. Okay, those are our opinions.
Then you also have live.
And nobody thinks a live animal. They only suggested that to explain why you needed that pasuk. Nobody thinks a live animal that goes on becomes sanctified, at least from what I can understand. Okay. My ika ben hanetnai lahanetnai dematnitin. So what's the difference? Now we're going to see there's another difference, right? What's the difference between those tana'im that we just saw here and the tana'im of our Mishnah? Amra Papa k'matzim shekidshu b'kli ika benayu. Right? In other words, the mincha is going to be the issue. Again, a mincha only, by the way, when you said mincha, it's obviously going to only be a mincha that was nitkadesh b'kli, not a mincha before it was put in a kli sharet. The mincha was never put in a kli sharet. We already learned that was the first thing we learned in the Gemara. That's not going to be included. So they're saying a mincha shekidshu b'kli ika benayu. L'tanai didan lo yerdu. According to the Tanaim of our Mishnah, right? Both of them say that the mincha, right? These would all say that the mincha for sure is included. Whereas the new opinions we just saw, right? The ofot and the behemot, or just the behemot, are going to exclude the mincha. Okay? L'tanai didan lo yerdu, and l'tanai de matnita yerdu, right? And the Tanaim of the Braita, they would go off. Mincha haba bifnei atzma l'divrei kulan lo tered. Okay, a mincha that comes bifnei atzma, everyone agrees lo tered, and the divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili v'Rabbi Akiva tered. Okay, what's the divrei kulan lo tered? This is that all the tanaim of our Mishnah would say a mincha that ba bifnei atzma, everyone would agree it stays on, but Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva of the Braita would obviously say tered. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow with all the further differences between them.